meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I love that gospel reading. I'm not going to teach from it, but I love it because it's just a reminder to me of the radical nature of this being in Christ. When we read that, this is the things that Jesus said and the way that Jesus lived. You have to understand, he's saying the same things in you. He's inviting you to live that same life. He lives that same life through us. We can't dummy it down and make it 21st century because it doesn't fit our narrative. And the reason people don't want to do those things is because they're afraid. They're afraid they won't get something. They're afraid they'll lose out on something. And that's tragic because it just means we don't trust him with it. It's much more fun to take the risk, to take the jump and join him in the life he wants to live. He just reminded me again this morning. So I'm so glad you're here. I'm so excited that you're here because he is. And so even earlier in the day, just being with the Lord, hanging out with the Lord, not really preparing for this, just being with the Lord. And she shared his joy and just sheer hilarious joy about my day, but about this part of the day. And so he's anticipated this for a long time. He's anticipated you being here today, this day, for a long time. And so I'm assuming, therefore, even through this part of the Eucharist, the Mass, he's going to speak something into your life specifically. I've had encounters with the Lord with people laying hands on me. I've had encounters with the Lord laying on the floor as a result. I've had encounters with the Lord by people giving prophetic words to me. But most, more than any other place in my life, I've encountered with the Lord by someone speaking the truth or me just being in the Word. And it's been just as powerful, life-changing. So it's not about the deliverer. It's really irrelevant, the mail carrier. Now, when you're the mailman, it's fun to be a part of that, especially if you know you're bringing good news. So the fun thing about speaking as a Christian or talking to someone as a believer, not just as a teacher, is that you know that you're carrying mail and every piece of mail has good news, life-changing news. That's fun. Isn't it fun like just to text somebody about something really good? It's going to change their life. So he's going to impact you in the prophetic. He's going to particularly impact you as you receive Eucharist. But I pray you have ears to hear what ever is going to be said today, and it's going to be applied to your own particular life, okay? We're going to start here. This really isn't the main thing I want to share with you, but I think it's important to hear in light of what we talked about yesterday, because we've been kind of told, there's like this idea, but it really isn't part of what the church believed in the early church. That's become more of it's really more of a recent thing. I don't mean like 20 years, but the more last few hundred years. That the emphasis in some circles is that God came in Christ to die to satisfy an angry God the Father. He was angry at sin because he loves us, and sin's so destructive. But Jesus came to satisfy a loving Father who wanted us to be set free, to be rescued from the reign of sin. This is what it says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I am amazed, Paul said, that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of God in Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now, in verse 3 and 4, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us or rescue us out of this present evil age. It's not about going to heaven. It's talking about rescuing you, though you're in the world, to no longer be of the world, and under the reign of sin and the devil. He gave himself for us that he might rescue us out of this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. He didn't say he came to satisfy a ticked off father. He came to rescue us, and that was the will of the Father. So there's this kind of warped idea that there's of the three persons in the Godhead, the Father is the one in the bad mood because he's so holy. But Jesus is the one in the good mood. I mean, we may not say that, but we teach it like that's true. We have a happy Father, a joy-filled Father, a joy-filled Son, a joy-filled Holy Spirit. It's joy. That's what kept him on the cross, was you and I being rescued from the reign of sin. This is what it says about Christ in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5. It says, for there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so here you have the separation, God and fallen mankind. And Jesus, he says, let me read this one from 2 Corinthians, if I can find it. It says, now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Now all these things are from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. We didn't do anything. He did his part and he did our part. So how did that happen? How did God reconcile us to himself? It's pure grace. That's why he says all these things are from God. That gives you some kind of insight into what kind of mood God's in and how he feels about you and me. That God reconciled himself, reconciled us to himself through Christ. And he did that without your permission. He did that 2,000 years before you were born. He did what we couldn't do. We couldn't reconcile ourselves to him. So he had to do our part. He reconciled us. He did it to himself. How did he do that? God became us. He became one of us. And the reconciliation didn't happen through Christ standing here and God's there and we're here. The reconciliation happened in the person of Christ. God and man came together in the person of Christ. The reconciliation happened in him. That's amazing. That God loved you so much that the plan to rescue us from this evil age since the fall is that God himself, who's never been tempted, would become human, never less than God, but always 100% human, that he would become human, and he is to this day. Christ is the God-man, the human God, who's both 100% God and 100% man. So God became you and me, clothed himself in our sinful flesh, and in his life, death, and resurrection, the reconciliation all happened in him. Thus the scripture, for there is one God, three persons, one God, and one mediator, also between God and man, and it is the man Christ Jesus. Not just Jesus, but the man Christ Jesus. God became man. And in doing that, it's easy for us to understand that by becoming man, and he became, clothed himself in our humanity. His humanity represented all of us. When he went to the cross, all of us were there. When he was raised, all of us were there. When he lived a life in obedience to the Father, keeping covenant, all of us were there. And we now have his record. Wow. But in man and God being brought together in the person of Christ, we know that Jesus mediates God to us and entangles us with the life of God in the reality that we live in. But he also mediates us to God, and in so doing, entangles us in the life that God lives and his reality. Thus, we're here, but we're also seated in the heavenly places in Christ, so that I can walk around knowing that he's infused in my life, and I can trust him with everything I face, and that he's going to share his ability as my life and everything I face. But I'm also very much aware that I'm, in the same time, I'm seated in the heavenlies, and I'm enjoying the fellowship, the worship, the intimacy of the triune God, because I've been mediated through Christ to God. In that one man, I was reconciled. And that one man, the one mediator, the man Christ Jesus, God is now being mediated to you, and you're now being mediated to him. And he lives as that man. He lives as you and me, clothed in our humanity, before God for all of eternity. Isn't that awesome? That's the gospel. That's why he's such a happy God. I wrote about that yesterday. It was for the joy set before him, he endured the shame on the cross. It was the joy of that reconciliation, that restoration, that union with God and man that kept Jesus on the cross. And so now that we're one with him, now that this mutual entanglement, this mutual indwelling is happening, do you think he's in a bad mood? No, he's hilariously joyful. So what's wrong with us? What's wrong with us? He invites you to join that party, to surrender that joy. He's a God of hope. Jesus said in John 14, his last Bible study with the boys, he says, "My joy, I give you my joy, that your joy might be complete." Wow. And you might say, well, I thought the whole thing about Jesus in us is about, he's serious because he's holy. The word holy means other. Jesus came to make you other than what you were before him. He came for you to know other than what you are when you're walking in sin. He came so that you would know the absolute stunning joy that he has and that he participates in his relationship, joy-filled love relationship with the Father and the Spirit. It's just amazing to me. So I say this a lot. You have to fight your way through the gospel. You've got to fight your way through Christ. You've got to move him out of the way to be a miserable Christian. Take some determination. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.